Retail's really, really evolved. And it all happened actually when I was turning 50. I recognised that I was probably burning myself out. I had 6 stores, 28 staff, and also having to run and manage all the production. I mean, I had also other staff to help, but I just could see I was running myself. I was going to explode, you know? I'd probably die from stress.
It's Time to Identify, a podcast from Rachel from rachelclaver.com.
I first fell in love with what Carolyn Maher makes when I was about 18 years old, which completely ages me, or maybe it just ages Carolyn. And when I had to find some clothes for a graduation dinner, and I walked into this little store in Takapuna, and it was called The Carpenter's Daughter, and I was trying on the clothes and completely loved them. Later on, I got to model for her at Fashion Week. Yes, folks, I am a round person who has modelled at Fashion Week because she makes plus size clothing. And I have watched her with her stores going from a large number of stores to one core retail shop without breaking a sweat and looking like she's just completely in love with what she does all the way through. I find Carolyn such a lovely, vivacious person to watch on social media. She models a lot of her own clothes and she gets these awesome videos where she's walking and talking through and talking to her audience. She's completely engaging, and I'm really looking forward to talking with her today about the changes that have come from going from a big retail chain down to one store and how she's still in love with her business from all those years ago. Looking forward to talking with Carolyn today. Carolyn, it's so lovely to have you today. I'm really excited to have you on our podcast because I absolutely adore not just what you make in terms of your clothes and think that you're very clever that way, but just how hard, the story I've seen of how hard you've worked and just see your lovely, vibrant personality come through when you're marketing your own clothes and things like that. And I just think it's absolutely lovely. Do you want to tell everyone a little bit about what you do and what you sell?
Okay then. Hi everybody. I'm Caroline Maher. I'm the Carpenter's Daughter. And I do New Zealand made plus size fashion designer here in New Zealand. And it wasn't always that way that I made it, but over the last 20 years I've been doing it myself. And I started back as a young woman, 25 years of age, and now I'm a 54-year-old coming to be 55, so that makes it 30 years.
So that's quite amazing, because there's a lot of people, obviously, like I used to say that every man and every girl and her chihuahua wanted to be a marketing agency owner, and I kind of feel like it's the same with fashion design these days too. Like it seems to be like every female and her, I don't know what the equivalent would it be chihuahua as well, wants to like have their own swimwear brand or fashion brand and things like that. Do you, when you're looking at that and you see that and you think about all the things you've learnt, what do you, do you think it's exciting? Do you see that as exciting, or do you just think, oh my gosh, they have no idea what they're doing?
Funny that you should ask that. I have an intern with me at the moment who's 21 and third year into Wycliffe College fashion student wanting to specialise in plus size. Sat her down this morning as we started and I said, so, what do you need to learn? She says, oh my God, I've learned so much.
Yeah.
I didn't realise that this is what you have to do. I went, wow, in your 3 years, what do they teach you, you know, sort of thing. So, you know, it's getting in on the cold front of it all, you know. You've got to, there's a whole lot of different jobs and opportunities within the fashion industry, not just being the designer, not just being the pattern maker. You know, there's the visual merchandiser, there's the buyer, there's the social marketing media person, there's the, you know, there's a whole lot of jobs, not just that. So I'm learning from them and they're learning from me,
because
which
one of the
I
things,
really love.
One of the things I really like about you, Caroline, is that you do your own, a lot of your own social modelling. Like you're modelling the clothes and you're showing the clothes off. What do you think some of the benefits of that? I mean, besides obviously there's a cost benefit for you as a business owner, what do you think are some of the other things that, because it was quite different. Like I remember when you started doing it and there was a little bit of like, oh my gosh, you know, and now everyone loves, like it's become so much of your brand. Why is it that you think that people resonate so much with that?
Well, I think it's because they actually see a real person. I'm a real person. I don't hide behind anything. I've always been transparent. And so people need to and want to connect with that, you know. I am trying to beat that. the people who watch me are my heroes. They are my people. They're my tribe, you know. So I always think about them when I'm doing what I do, which comes quite naturally. Mm. So for me to, you know, show what I'm making, how I think visually and everything is part of, it's the new way of what I've been doing recently, you know.
Did it feel uncomfortable when you started doing it?
At first, I think, but you know, but I think naturally I have, actually when I was 7 and 8 years of age, my grandfather was a photographer, all right, he just did it as a hobby, and I said to him, Grandpa, I want you to take photos of me, I'm going to be the model, to him, one day I'm going to be a model, you know. And as I went through my ages, I didn't realize that I actually would become the model in my 50s, you know. But I am my own model for my own brand, and I am the best one to actually portray it, even though my shape might be different from many others as well, you know.
But I think that's what it is. I do think that truth of you know, sometimes going back to what we wanted as a child, there's a reality of there. It's almost like there's a precursor to where we're going, and often we loop back to it, I think. I've just recently started doing some parody songs, which I always have one of them on a podcast, and my kids think it's absolutely hilarious, but you know, I get like 2,000, 3,000 views of a parody song video, and I'm like, wow, I'm getting more views on that than I was when I was singing and to a small group of people hoping that I'd suddenly make it, you know. So I think like sometimes when we come back to it, it makes us quite happy, doesn't it?
That's right, it does. My Fletcher is a good person to be behind the camera videoing me, because he encourages, you know, and he allows me to actually be my wild self.
That's,
you know,
awesome.
Yeah, he doesn't say no, don't, because he understands that that's what people want to see as well. So
they want to see you happy and joyful.
I am happy, and I am naturally happy and joyful. Every day I go and I exercise and I get my head right to conquer the day, you know? And I always look for the happiness or the silver lining and whatever. Like today it's raining, but you know what? I'm so thankful because my garden needs it, you know?
Yeah.
I think like that, always have.
That's amazing. And is that what, because I know that when I was talking to you about us doing this podcast, I was talking about how I'd be really interested to talk to you about how you did used to have a lot of stores across New Zealand, and now you've got one, is that right?
Yes, that's right. I have one physical store.
So that's been quite a big change. Do you want to talk to us a little bit about kind of how that happened? I mean, retail has evolved a lot as well, hasn't it?
It has. Retail's really, really evolved. And it all happened actually when I was turning 50. I recognised that I was probably burning myself out. I had 6 stores, 28 staff, and also having to run and manage all the production. I mean, I had also other staff to help, but I just could see I was running myself. I was going to explode, you know. I'd probably die from stress. So I decided I needed to change things up. And so to change it up, I needed to pack up, move out, and downsize. And the only way to do it was sell and get out. And doing that, I took an 8-month sabbatical. And then I came back into the market after deciding and thinking, really, what do I want to do? Well, guess what? I am really good at what I do. I love dressing the woman. I'm passionate about it. So why do something else? And why work for somebody else? So I decided, right, I'm going back. I'm doing it, you know? And I tried retailing in a place where I had to drive every day, leave home and drive to my workspace, you know, my retail. Mm. It didn't work for me. I've always worked from home. And then I found this property here in Point Chevalier that was up for rent. And I walked in the door, saw the oven, and I thought, that's me, because I love to cook. And on the side of the building was this beautiful banner that says, God defend New Zealand. And I went, yes. That's talking to me. I'm going for this. I got it. So this is where I have been.
That's awesome.
But in saying so and being here by myself, I found that my business was starting to decline because things had changed. So along comes my lovely intern, Fletcher, who was a marketing intern that came to me. And he, 1.5 years ago, although he was an intern, he had years of film and TV and retail sales experience under his belt.
Well, that was a bit of a gift.
total gift, you know, and I didn't really know this because Fletcher is a skinny, white, gay man, okay? He is totally opposite to what and who. But now the woman just adore him.
Yeah, because he's a safe harbour, right? He makes people feel comfortable and loved.
Yes, he does. Yeah. Yes, he does. He does. So my brick and mortar store is just a showroom for my clients, and it's a backdrop for the photos and the video content that I now produce for Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and most importantly, the website. So that was a turning point for me, you know, having somebody young, vibrant, and fresh to come in into my business. Now, I've had interns before, and I've always, you know, kept them or I've looked after them or they've sent them off out into the world because that's what I really love doing as well.
And I know that I know some designers that you've done that with where you've, they've got their own, like La La and things like that, where they've got their own labels and where you've done that and helped them. And it is an amazing gift to give, like to actually give in to them and then see them do that, which is very powerful.
Yeah, that's right. But I think as we get older and we've been in our businesses for so long, that's what we should be doing anyway. Yes. You know, we give back, you know. But these interns, they've come in and they've given to me. But the biggest thing for me to allow Fletcher to do this was that I had to be I had to be honest. Mm. I had to open up to all my business happenings. I had to trust him, and I had to be adaptable, you know, to what he wanted to do, because I had to really rely on him. Mm. You know, to do what we were going to do, because that was the turning point for me. I also shared him with another retailer and manufacturing company at the time because I couldn't give him 40 hours. The first time he came in the door and he came to see me to work, and then I said after half an hour, I said, okay, that's it, you can go home now. He always tells people that.
Is that because your brain was partly full as well?
It was. It was.
Yeah, I actually have that effect on people too, so I totally know what he does. So the two of you do work really well together. So do most of your sales now get driven from the fact that you've got a database and you're using your online more? Is that where most of the sales get driven from?
Yes, they are now. So what's happening is that actually my online is increased by, in a year, guess by 160%.
That is incredible.
That's right. That's incredible. And that is something to be talked about, to be celebrated as well.
It's amazing.
That's right. So it can happen, but I had to, but it also has driven also people, more people in my door now as well. I've always been a destination retailer.
Always,
you know, so
even when you were in Takapuna all those years ago.
That's right. I've always sat in by myself usually. That's how I grew the business in Mount Albert Road, you know. I don't rely on foot traffic, you know. I rely on seeing my brand, coming, getting interested and coming to my door. So,
do you think that, like, obviously your products are New Zealand made, which keeps the price up, so it's people will buy those, that you've got loyal customers who will buy it again and again and again, and you'll often have people who will say it's too expensive because they don't understand the actual cost, not just of your own IP and the designs, but making it. But do you think there is always going to be a real place for people who really celebrate, and in these days where it's just so easy to get fast fashion, to really celebrate the quality and the timelessness of your pieces?
Totally. Yeah. Because, you know, somebody asked me that just yesterday, actually, and I said, oh, no, this is a vibrant, alive industry, you know. It employs so many people, you know, and it's a skill-based sort of business as well. It's very skill-based. And I, you know, I've got women who won't buy anything else but New Zealand made because they know it's looking after the people in our nation, you know. And hopefully that most of that money stays in our nation as well, you know. It's like all the young ones coming through fashion schools and stuff, you know. The industry needs to stay alive. At one time I was really sad and concerned that it wasn't going to happen.
I think it has turned around, though, hasn't it? Like, there has been a corner change, and people are actually quite proud of wearing New Zealand fashion, whereas before they used to see overseas fashion.
Very much so. Yes. One of the clients came in this week, and she says, you know, I've got a sister. She's very, very wealthy. So what she does, she buys designer labels in New Zealand and wears them out of New Zealand. And when she's in Europe, she buys designer labels there, and she wears those in New Zealand, you know? So, because they want that point of difference.
Definitely.
Still want the point of difference, you know. Mm. So, but my thing is too, my quality is good, you know. And
that
if it's not good, they give it back to me.
Exactly. You know? So, I mean, you're doing it now at 55. Do you think this model that you've got is something that's just, is this your happy place now, Caroline? Is this?
Oh, yeah, totally.
It is.
I love it.
You could
just,
So you've
really
built
love
a
it.
Business that's not just, you've got your heart back into it now, haven't you?
Oh, because, totally. Yeah. Yes. I had to change a lot of things up. I had to rethink things through. But it's the clients who actually really make me love and, you know that I'm doing the correct thing, you know, for them and with them as well. Mm. And that gives me joy, you know.
I really love the story because I know for me and Rod and Identify, we grew to quite a big team and then we went smaller and now it's just us two with some contractors. And I'm at my happiest because I'm actually on the tools again and I realise that's what I really miss. So I love hearing the story because I think a lot of business owners really struggle with this. They struggle with, do I need to grow my business and get that big sign of success of having, you know, more stores or whatever it is or more offices? Or do I want to stay on the tools? What is it that makes me really happy? And I love that you found your zen, the place that you're really happy in what you're
doing. After looking again, rethinking, and now refocused, you know,
it's amazing.
With it.
Thank you. Well, you have just been really inspirational. I've loved listening to every word you've said, and thank you so much for taking your time to be on Time to Identify today.
Oh, thank you, Rachel, for asking me. As I said, I really didn't know what podcasts are. That's the next thing, and that's what I'm researching.
Excellent. Well, this will be a good starter for you then.
Thanks, Rachel.
Thank you so much. Cool.
Okay.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Remember to post on Facebook. But not the same old thing you popped on Instagram today. And pin something to Pinterest while commenting on someone's LinkedIn clever escapades. And if you're really clever, Snapchat all your day away. You can spend all of your days and nights on social media, but unless it's giving all the leads, it's such a waste of your time. It is better to just choose one or two social platforms and don't waste all of your time on all of the social media.
This has been It's Time to Identify, a podcast from Rachel Claver. To find out how Rachel can help your business, check out rachelclaver.com. And don't forget to hit subscribe for Rachel's next podcast.